This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Birthday to that guy. Phil Collins is 74 years old today. Welcome to the Chad Holmes Show. I'm not Chad Holmes. Chad's around, but if you've been paying any attention to Chad's show lately, you know that whatever bug he caught that has infiltrated his vocal cords is flaring up again, and he is this time around listening to doctor's orders, Dr. Pat and others, to say rest up. He's still behind the scenes here, and we hope to hear more from him as his voice recovers. But I'll be here with you for this first hour of the Chad Holmes Show and a little part of the second hour before we've got a previously recorded interview that Chad did with a guest that we'll tell you about in just a little bit. But for now, we'll go over some of the things that we covered on Up North News Radio. If you normally are turning on your radio at about this time, you might not hear the program that I host weekday mornings from 6 to 8 here on 98.9 WXCO and across the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app as well. It's also a podcast, so you can listen at your own leisure if you like. And you can certainly catch us on YouTube or on Facebook as well. I understand that I'd better make sure I get the phone number straight because it's a different phone number here for Chad's show. That phone number would be 715-382-9297, 715-382-9297. You can also use the Civic Media app to phone us or text us as well. We'll talk in just a bit here about the ethics complaint about Wausau Mayor Doug Dinney. Mostly we'll be relaying what other local reporters have said about the city council that has decided to approve legal counsel for the city's Citizen Ethics Board to review the complaint against the mayor for moving that ballot drop box shortly before the election last year. So comments about that coming up first for folks who, again, are getting kind of a later start to their day and may not be up to speed on the big sad story out of Washington, D.C. that yesterday or late yesterday, 9 o'clock at night Eastern time, 8 o'clock here, that an Army Black Hawk helicopter crashed into an American Eagle regional jet from Wichita, Kansas, that was coming in for a landing at Reagan National Airport, DCA, out there in Washington, D.C. There are several video angles of it where the plane is making the usual turn. You have to make this banking turn to get set to come in on the runway, which is along the Potomac River. The Black Hawk helicopter had a flight path that was more or less head-on to the plane, but the helicopter had been instructed to fly behind the plane, and obviously that didn't happen for reasons we don't know yet. There were 60 passengers and four crew members aboard the flight from Wichita, many of them members of the figure skating community. The U.S. championships had just been held in Wichita last weekend, and that was followed by a development camp for young figure skaters. And so there were skaters, coaches, parents, and other staff on the plane, not just from the U.S., from other countries as well. Russia, for one, has confirmed that it had skaters and coaches on that plane, including two skaters who were world champions back in the early 1990s in the pairs competition and were now coaches on that team. So I'm sure we're going to be hearing much more in terms of names of those souls who were lost in that midair collision. It was a first test, essentially, for the new U.S. Secretary of Transportation, Sean Duffy, who did speak to reporters and did talk about the crash, the tragedy, that it appears to have been preventable, but obviously a lot of investigation has to be done first. And that's the one point that I wanted to make with a new administration in charge, is to show the leadership and compassion that you would expect and give the investigators some wide berth to figure out what actually happened. I say all this because President Donald Trump late last night was speculating out loud on social media, basically, you know, already saying that the helicopter pilot was at fault and asking questions about why he or she didn't do this or didn't do that, which is a little odd because these investigators of the crash and many of the parties involved report to the president. You've got a military helicopter involved, and speculation in real time is something that, you know, keyboard amateurs do on social media. We expect better from a chief executive, whether at the state level or the presidential level. And I sense that in this case, for all the things that I have been critical of for Sean Duffy in the years as somebody who ran against him for Congress back in 2012, I'm telling you that I'm thankful that he's in that position right now. He knows how to handle situations like this with professionalism and with the seriousness that it deserves. And I want to make sure I say that about now Secretary Duffy, because my initial comments about Sean Duffy in the Transportation Secretary role were to point out that his very first action in office was to reduce fuel efficiency standards for cars, which, again, is relatively unnecessary. People already want more fuel-efficient cars. They were unfairly labeled as mandates. And Sean Duffy's going to do other things that I'm going to disagree with as Transportation Secretary. But then moments like this happen, and it is that reminder. And we talked about this a lot during the election campaign. This reminder that there are issues that transcend partisan politics and when we should be coming together and working together. How many times I said the number of Republican friends and neighbors, you know, people I love, and we want to go back to arguing over some of the smaller stuff by comparison. What size should a tax cut be, for example, rather than, you know, whether we should take away voting rights and some of the other big issues, whether we should try to rig a presidential election or things like that. I want to be back at a time where I can have a disagreement with a cabinet secretary, but also at the same time be the first to say, I'm glad that person is there because he's going to manage this particular crisis well. That's when government works the way that it should work best, is when we work through our disagreements and also work toward common ground in those situations where we're able to do that. We definitely got a taste of that over the past, 36 to 48 hours here, with what President Donald Trump was trying to do with federal spending. And we'll talk a little bit about that during the course of the hour as well. But where are my manners? We can't forget that Ian Welsh is still here behind the scenes in the studio running the board for this show. I am so reliant upon board operators. I just sit here in my home office in Chippewa Falls, and this doesn't get done without Greg Bach on the board in Racine, or Luke Mathers on the board in Madison, or Ian on the board in Wausau. Ian, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Pat. It was, right now. I'm always happy to be a good board operator.
it is more important than, you know, most folks know, and it's greatly appreciated. And it was great to see you over the weekend at the Civic Media belated holiday bowling party in Eau Claire. I hope that was a good time for you.
It was a lot of fun. It was nice you actually got to see my face, because you've only just heard my voice.
I know.
So during that party, as you got to,
so I first the got person. The name, you see the name tag first, and it's like, you're Ian, that's you.
Yep, so, I'm the number of the day guy.
That's right. But, you know, that's the way it is for a lot of radio folks. And I did a lot of radio work before I worked at Channel 13 in Eau Claire. And I'll never forget the first time it happened, a moment like that happened. I was working at Wax Radio in Eau Claire. And I went to, I think it was McDonald's for a cheeseburger or something. Mm-hmm. And I order at the drive-thru. And as I get to the window, and remember, I've not been on TV. I've only been on the radio. Oh. As I get to the drive-thru, the woman at the drive-thru opens the door. And she goes, "It's you. I knew it was you, that guy from the radio." And I'm like, "Oh, wow. People actually pay attention to this kind of stuff. That's pretty cool." I'm sure you get that from time to time where people go, "Wait, are you you're the Ian on the radio?"
Well, sometimes I do. Yeah, but...
It's not a bad thing.
No, it's not. If they hear my voice but don't recognize the face, it's always a nice surprise when I get to tell people that. Yeah, I'm that guy.
and that, you know, you're fairly quiet behind the scenes during the show, but it turns out that you, much like one of our Up North News reporters, Selena Heller, you're theater folks, you're theater kids, theater brats, yes, whatever you want to call it, and that's really where you come out of your shell and shine as you're up on stage with these lines and you get to do all manner of things, something that I've never done. I've always, believe it or not, mm-hmm, I've been way too shy or you know, lack the confidence to try theater. And yet you've done how many plays do you figure?
Let's see. Including the holiday, the one I just finished up in 2024, that was my 73rd.
Wow.
Altogether. I've been doing this since I was 12 years old. I have a resume of all the shows I've been a part of, and theater is my passion. I mean, it helps me grow as a person. I get more confident. I can be more creative. I've made so many friends, and honestly, I think a theater, for me, has just become like my second family.
Oh, understandable. Yes, it's that way for a lot of folks, and that's amazing. I mean, As of this morning, I've done 504 radio shows, but I've never had to really memorize lines. I've never had to change costumes. I've never worried about falling into an orchestra pit or any of the other hazards that come with doing dozens and dozens of theaters and theater shows, and then all the performances each one. It is something I admire very much, and just wanted to make sure I told you all about that.
It's a lot of hard work, but it's definitely worth it. It does take a toll on your body, though. So you always gotta, you know, stay healthy and stay hydrated and always be on top of that.
There you go. Let's see. Help me with the pronunciation here, because I did say that we do have one pre-recorded interview from Chad that we'll play in our next hour, mm-hmm, with Mosini junior basketball and softball standout. Talen, is it Gershley?
Gershley, yes.
Gershley, okay. Who was part of the big high school sports show. And so we'll have that interview for you along the way. And of course, we've got meteorologist Brittany Merlot coming back to tell us about a forecast, mm-hmm, that is one for the record books today.
Oh, absolutely.
There will be 40s, there will be 50s today in parts of Wisconsin. So that's all coming up as part of the Chad Holmes Show. Pat Kreitlow filling in. We'll be back in just a bit.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Ian has found a good throwback for me here. It's little Tubes music. I feel like I'm back at Trader and Trapper in Eau Claire and racing to the dance floor right here. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot is here. Probably has never danced to the Tubes on any given dance floor.
No, not on the dance floor, but right here every morning.
That's right. Well, there's a lot of tap dancing that goes on here in the morning, trust me. But, you know,
I used to be a tap dancer. You just sent me back. Oh, my gosh.
Really?
Yes.
Look at the stuff we're learning over here.
I know. I should pick that back up. That was baby Brittany, little one.
Baby Brittany. Pat Kreitlow here in for Chad Holmes, who's a little under the weather. Brittany Merlot is with us as well on a day that is going to see some records getting broken, perhaps even shattered.
Isn't that wild? We have such a major warm-up today. Right now we're sitting at about 22 degrees and we've got another 25 degrees to go. We are climbing. Highs today throughout the Wausau area, we're looking at 48, which is going to shatter the record of 43 degrees that was set back in 1999.
That's insane.
Isn't it? What are you going to do, Ian? Are you going to go outside and grill or anything?
Well, I'm definitely going to go for a walk around the neighborhood just to get some outdoor exercise. I probably won't even have to wear my heavy jacket. I just had to wear a light jacket.
Yeah, it's one of those conditions where if it had been, you know, summertime and we're in fall and you get to the 40s and you're like, oh, you're putting on an extra layer.
Right.
Now we're at the time of year where at 40s, it's like, who needs layers? What are you talking about? This is great. I'm feeling so warm.
It is going to be fantastic. And I strongly suggest everyone to try to soak this up and enjoy it. I mean, we are going to stay mild the rest of this week, but still, this is a day going down in history. Why not have something that you're doing out there in it? I mean, we've got these beautiful trails. The snow is pretty much gone, unfortunately, and that's going to be gone by the end of today. A lot of melting. But we do have another chat pushing in on Saturday. By Saturday afternoon and into the evening and potentially into early Sunday morning, we could get a good 1 to 3 inches. I wish it was 6 inches.
But I was going to say, yeah, it's a good 1 to 3 inches for people who don't want it to stick around, for people who are still holding out hope for some enhanced winter recreation. They're gonna wish for a little bit more yet, but it doesn't sound like there's anything in the cards here.
No, not really. I mean, there is a system later on next week that does want to bring some snowfall, potentially Thursday, but again, that's a little bit too far out to really hope that it's going to hit, but there is a small chance before the spring weather really starts to roll in. But until then, we'll enjoy this thaw, I think, today.
Oh, I don't mind the thaw at all, and I note that a lot of these weather systems this winter that would sometimes turn upward and swing up our way have stayed to the south. We've seen the south just get pummeled by, first it was stormy weather, and then actual winter weather, and they're probably going to get the brunt of this next system too, which, you know, in this case, there's a lot we talk about changing climate and everything, but for weather systems like this, this is more like luck of the draw. Like, well, there just happens to be a high pressure system here, and so it's steering the bad weather, you know, to the south of us.
Yep, it sure does do that. And, you know, it is interesting, though, as you look back at all of the years and the decades and things, we are losing our winter. I mean, we're definitely feeling it the past two winters, but the research is showing at least 14 to 15 days is going away to spring or fall or something like that. And we're feeling it. We're feeling it. You can't deny it anymore.
No, you can't. And so I was, we were worried and wondering about the Birkebeiner and whether that was going to take place up in the Hayward area.
I was just thinking of that.
And now this is not to take anything away from the folks around Hayward. By all means, you keep doing what you're doing. Every winter is a little different. But we definitely know about lake effect snow. And if I were in any kind of a competitive, you know, ski racing, area, I'd be looking at that area of lake effect snow coming off of Lake Superior up there in far northern Wisconsin and part of the UP and saying, let's set something up here, because there's going to be years where the snow line just isn't where it normally is, and we're going to keep getting the snow up here.
I agree with you. Like you said, it's the luck of the draw. Where are these systems going to go? Who's going to get the biggest dumping? And since it's so variable these years, that lake effect snow is a guaranteed, because the lakes aren't freezing over nearly as much. The lake ice is shrinking. And with that open water, that means lake effect just keeps going. So I agree with you. If you're looking for the snow, you definitely have to go to the snow belt, which is closer to Lake Superior.
And I am always surprised at how well defined some of those snow areas are. And I'm thinking specifically of Buffalo. And Buffalo, of course, is legendary for the lake effect snow. But it is, in so many ways, a fairly narrow band of where it typically goes, that you can be just outside of that band in Buffalo and get so very little compared to what's there. I get it. It's science, but it's still just fascinating to me that, you know, you can be just on the other side of town and not get nearly what your neighbor's getting.
Oh, this is why I love lake effect snow. It's one of my favorite phenomena. Yes. It's like just this narrow 2 to 3 mile band that just downpours on you, where visibility is so low. You're accumulating everything so fast. It is beautiful, I think, and amazing.
We would get, and I'm going to talk about Caribbean island weather here for a second, just to help people warm up on this January day. but living on Grand Cayman, as I did for 3 years, we'd get this effect where You know, a cloud would form as it sucked up, you know, the moisture from one side of the island. Yeah. And by the time it got to the other side, you just get these tropical downpours. But again, on another part of the island, not a drop of rain. It was like quite literally this little black rain cloud that was forming and then dumping and then moving out to sea. And I've got some gorgeous photographs of that. It's a wonderful wow. effect of just this singular cloud rainstorm, you know. And I think a lot of people would take that over the snow belt anytime when the topic is isolated winters, you know.
True, very true.
Or isolated weather, I should say. But
that sounds awesome. I would love to see something like that.
Oh yeah, it's a wonderful phenomenon. See, some weather phenomena, they can be fun. Not everything has to be deadly and serious. We can exactly. actually enjoy the weather. That's why Brittany's involved in all this. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot, thank you so much. I appreciate the extended visit here while we fill in for Chad.
Absolutely. Have a good day. Brittany.
Yep. You as well. All right, 8:28 the time right now, and let's talk a little bit of sports here. The Badger men's basketball team, 17th ranked in the country, they lost to Maryland last night, 76-68. The Badgers have now lost 2 of 3 following a 7-game winning streak. They are 6-4 in the Big Ten right now, and their next game is at Northwestern on Saturday afternoon. And that game can be heard on several other Civic Media radio stations, but also through the Civic Media app. The Marquette men's basketball team hosts 25th-ranked Cincinnati on Saturday night. The Badger men's hockey team plays at Minnesota Friday and Saturday. You can hear that game on WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids. Badger women's hockey is at Duluth this weekend. More after this. I'm Pat Kreitlow in for Chad Holmes.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Welcome back. This is the Chad Holmes Show. I'm Pat Kreitlow filling in for Chad Holmes here on 98.9 WXCO. Ian Welsh is along with us in studio as well. Thank mm-hmm. you for being here. And Chad will be along again when his voice gets a little bit better. You'll also hear him next hour, though, with an interview related to the big high school sports show. So stay tuned for that coming up a little bit after 9 o'clock this morning. So we're going to talk very briefly here about how the Common Council in Wausau voted on Tuesday, 8-2, to hire a special counsel, an outside attorney, to advise the city's ethics board on a complaint against the mayor, Doug Denny, for the removal of that absentee ballot box. Now, as I'm reading up on this, and I'm going to be sharing information here from both the Wausau Pilot and Review and the Wausau Daily Herald. The thing that really stands out to me is let's set aside what the mayor did. Let's set aside whether the mayor was authorized to do it or not. Let's even set aside the notion that there's been an ethics complaint filed and that there is a criminal complaint as well. Before we can get to any of that, I want to get to the atmosphere that surrounds this, the politically charged atmosphere that we live in today. And it existed long before Trumpism, but somebody was very happy to stir that pot and to encourage rowdiness in crowds and, you know, all manner of booing and interruptions. And apparently, according to news reports, that's exactly what we saw at the Common Council meeting on Tuesday night, with booing and name calling and people who have taken information from other media that may be dubious, if not untrue, and then letting that guide their emotions as they have these moments where they're treating a meeting of their city government like it's all-star wrestling. And, you know, far be it from me, just one 60-year-old guy, to, you know, chide a community. But of course, you know, I'm talking only to certain members of that community when I say, we all expect better from you. We really do. You get a vote the same that I get a vote, the same that everybody else gets a vote. You have a voice, the same way that we all have a voice. And in a community, we all agree to use it in a helpful manner. But cheering and jeering at a city council meeting, I mean, find a new sport at a sports bar for that. This is a matter of whether somebody is suppressing the right to vote. This is something that demands a serious investigation as to whether laws or at least ethical standards were broken. And get off the notion that if the person is on Team Red or Team Blue, you therefore have to defend this person no matter what, and say that the charges are fake or politically motivated, and that essentially this person can do no wrong. Let me point you to the sentencing that was held yesterday for former New Jersey Senator Robert Menendez, a Democrat, who was sentenced to 11 years in prison for doing some pretty terrible things in the area of bribery. The man had, I don't know how many gold bars in his home, and was essentially doing work on behalf of a foreign government as a United States senator. At no point did you see other Democratic senators circling the wagons and saying this is fake and that Bob Menendez must be protected at all costs, and why don't you believe in the power of redemption? He's a changed man, or any of the other stuff that we've heard over the years about things like, you know, trying to steal a presidential election or trying to suppress the vote or trying to make it harder to vote, especially by removing a ballot drop box. These are serious matters, and we should not be circling the wagons because you might like somebody's ideology if what they do crosses a line. Removing an absentee ballot drop box may do just that. Not by accident, mind you, but after the mayor had checked with others, reportedly, the city clerk, the city attorney, the city clerk is the top elections official in the city. That's Wisconsin law in every community. You don't need me to tell you that again. I'm sure you've heard it a bunch of times. But for those folks who might be new to the subject, it's important to note that, you know, mayors are not all-powerful beings who can just do whatever they want because they have the title mayor. Now, again, whether Mayor Denny thought he had the rules and the law on his side or not is a matter for now a criminal investigation and now an ethics complaint. And because that ethics board might need to talk to the city attorney, and the city attorney in some ways helps represent the mayor, the city attorney said, we should probably have outside counsel to help out in this to avoid any appearance of a conflict of interest. Now, again, this to an outsider like me, slam dunk. Why wouldn't you do this? Never mind the ideology, never mind the task. If this is something involving any mayor that an ethics board is going to look at and might call the city attorney who was in on some conversations, why wouldn't you have an outside attorney? And yet, it appears some in right-wing media got the masses all ginned up, saying taxpayer dollars are being used for a persecution, a political persecution of the mayor, and it led to people showing up and cheering and jeering and backing the mayor and saying there shouldn't be an investigation of the mayor. That's not what Tuesday night's debate was about. It wasn't about whether to go forward with an investigation. The council members weren't voting on an investigation. The complaint has already been filed. It's going to happen. It's all a matter of, is this matter going to be handled by the book to avoid appearances of things like a conflict of interest or even political motivation? All the more reason to have an outside counsel. And even, I'm not going to speak for the mayor, but I would say that even for any of the mayor's most ardent supporters, that should be a case, that should be a head nod going, yeah, okay, that sounds right. At least let's get the legal counsel right in this. You know, I would remind you that our founding fathers included somebody like John Adams, who defended people against what some considered were indefensible charges. But he did it because that's what we do in this country, is we make sure that we follow the law. We make sure that we have proper legal counsel involved in cases of trials and ethics boards and the operation of our city government. So the vote was held. Again, there will be that outside counsel coming in. And now hopefully we can get past, you know, the other headlines that I'm seeing about, you know, security concerns for the city clerk and perhaps for the city attorney or for others who have spoken out against the mayor's actions. There's just no place for that. We've got comment sections on social media. We've got radio shows to call into. Start a blog. But the whole notion of having any city officials feel threatened is so past the line. And I would really love for our friends and neighbors in the Wausau area to bring an end to that now and to let this process work its way through. Let this ethics board take a look at whether the mayor moved beyond the lines of what's allowable by a mayor. And let the State Justice Department make their work known as well and make recommendations as to what happens next. I've said many a time that this hardly rises to the level of, you know, a mayor has to spend time behind bars for something like this. Nobody's talking about that. I will say, though, as I have before, that it is also equally wrong. It's equally wrong to have no punishment whatsoever, no consequences whatsoever for unilaterally moving a drop box that belongs to the voters. And its location is set up by the city clerk and nobody else. The city clerk followed state law. So there has to be some measure of consequences and, frankly, some measure of contrition. We haven't had either one of those yet. And the sooner that happens in Wausau, the sooner the community can come back together and work on things that are more forward-minded in terms of city development, job creation, education, good infrastructure, all of that. But you can't have that if you've got the mayor, according to the Pilot and Review article, describing the culture within the city council chambers as a Game of Thrones scenario. That's the kind of language that helps nobody here. If the mayor wants to make the case that he was in the right, that's fine. But to describe a scenario that, you know, includes the violent imagery of a TV show and, again, gets crowds stirred up, tells me that you're reaching for political excuses rather than having the law on your side. So let's let this all play out. Let's do so with, enough rabble-rousing and let this two-pronged process of the Ethics Board and the State Department of Justice work their way through and hopefully come up with a proper set of consequences, which I think the in the perfect world, it's something that won't make anybody happy. Or at least people on the far edges of the issue, something where the mayor's detractors will say, well, he got away with a slap on the wrist. All he got was a public rebuke or a resolution of censure or something when he should have paid a higher price. And others will say, well, the mayor didn't even deserve that. It's now this black mark on his record. If it's something like that or a small fine or anything like that, that makes people unhappy at the far edges of the issue, that's probably a good thing. I don't think there's going to be any kind of extreme punishment, but I am concerned that there's going to be no punishment for this action. Because if there isn't, much like the January 6th insurrection and all of those criminals being pardoned, we're simply opening the door for this to happen again. If there are no consequences for moving a ballot drop box, just as there have been few consequences for the people who violently stormed the U.S. Capitol, then what happens in the next presidential election when whoever is running, we'll say J.D. Vance, falls short? We've opened the door for people to again claim that it's rigged without any evidence. And we've opened the door for violence because people will say, well, I'm eventually going to get pardoned, or to move drop boxes or attack and deface drop boxes to say, well, you know, we had a mayor that did it and nothing happened to him. It would be very refreshing if the mayor would simply step in front of a bank of microphones and cameras and say, you know, that really wasn't something I should have done. I should have respected the authority of the chief clerk. I don't like drop boxes, or however he wants to phrase it, but the law is the law, and we're going to follow that, and I'm going to accept whatever accountability comes with it.
See, that's what he should have done. Absolutely.
Absolutely. But no, we're going through this whole episode,
yeah,
which is leading to hard feelings and raised voices and threats so unnecessarily. So I have said my piece on this repeatedly on Up North News Radio. Mm. And now after the behavior that I'm hearing about from Tuesday night, I hope that we've got a community that can move forward now and hopefully eventually be able to get this episode in its rearview mirror, because the Wausau community deserves better, deserves to be more forward-looking. But it can't, as long as something this egregious goes without consequences. All right. Well, let's continue in the next segment here of the Chad Holmes Show on 98.9 WXCO. I'm Pat Kreitlow, filling in for Chad Holmes. We'll be back in just a moment. I've got a pocket full of holes.
Head in the clouds, the king of fools. You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
It's just about 8 minutes before 9 o'clock in the morning on this Thursday morning, January 30th, 2025. I'm Pat Kreitlow, filling in for Chad Holmes today on the Chad Holmes Show, while somebody addresses that laryngitis and hopefully comes back sounding better than ever very soon. There is a line I use on Up North News Radio quite frequently to describe what happens on the political right, and it goes like this. Every assertion is a confession. And in this case, I'm talking about comments made by Vice President J.D. Vance, who is suggesting that some reporters covering the Trump White House are biased, perhaps even Democratic propagandists, and that the new administration will keep a close eye on those asking questions at press briefings.
Oh, for goodness sake.
That if we just left it at that, that the administration will keep a close eye on those asking questions, you know, raises this question. What are you afraid of? Vance said, quote, I actually think that we are looking very seriously about which reporters show up, because if you're a reporter, even if you're biased toward the left, absolutely we want to answer your questions, Vance said to Sean Hannity. If you're a propagandist for the Democratic Party, then we're going to treat you like a propagandist for the Democratic Party, J.D. Vance said to propagandist for the Republican Party, Sean Duffy. Hello. Every assertion is a confession. When they talk about propagandists in reporters, that's where J.D. Vance is showing up to make his comments, threatening the folks whose job it is to report on the White House and to be a watchdog over things like grift, power grabs, things that are beyond the Constitution or beyond law. and to threaten the reporters who cover those things with having their credentials yanked or worse. How many times has Trump made jokes about locking up reporters or hoping that violence happens to them? Those are not healthy things in a democracy. And now, as Vice President of the United States, J.D. Vance is continuing that line of thought from the far right. The new White House Press Secretary, Caroline Leavitt, made her debut in the briefing room this week. It was kind of tough to see her with the giant cross she was wearing around her neck at the podium. But
yeah,
you know,
I saw that.
You wear things on your sleeve or around your neck the way that you want to, I guess. But she announced that the two seats to the side of her on the podium, which you normally see White House staffers sitting at, are going to go to, quote-unquote, new media journalists rather than reporters from traditional outlets. Well, this raises an important point here. There's a reason why White House staffers won't be in those two seats to the side. They don't matter. When you look at the folks that Trump has hired, we've talked about the lack of guardrails. There is nobody in there, unlike in his first term, who will say, Mr. President, I don't know about that. I think that might be a bad idea to say you're going to cut off all federal aid and all federal grants with the wave of a hand. That might not go over well. There was nobody to tell him that before he committed the first, certainly not the last, ham-handed bluster of his new administration. The first blunder of the new administration of saying, I, Donald J. Trump, can unilaterally cut off all federal spending and I will decide which spending goes through and which does not. That's not his role. That's the role of Congress. These are matters that were voted on by Congress and signed by a president, President Biden most likely, but maybe going back to other spending that's out there. And it is a president's job to implement those things because he's not a monarch. We've talked on Up North News Radio about the parallel to what Republicans are doing in Madison, sitting on money, sitting on more than $100 million that could be cleaning up water contaminated with PFAS industrial chemicals. For over a year and a half, Republicans would rather sit on that money and let water stay contaminated than to reach an agreement with the governor. Instead, they're trying to extort the governor to let polluters off the hook because that's apparently what Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce told them to do. Mm-hmm. And they're sitting on $50 million that should be going toward literacy. And they're sitting on $15 million that should have gone to address a healthcare crisis here in the Chippewa Valley when two hospitals abruptly closed. In all cases, we're not fighting over whether to approve the money. The legislature, run by Republicans, approved the money. But then when it came time to spend the money, the Joint Finance Committee of the legislature said, oh, no, we have these rules that we have to release it, and we're holding on to that money until, and it was to extort from the governor changes in the literacy program or micromanage how the money is going to be spent in the Chippewa Valley for health care. When that should have been done when the money was first being approved. Again, I would like to go back to living in a time where people follow a process with honor. That if a bill was passed to spend the money, this is where you get to say how the money is spent or not spent. And then you take the vote. And then when the vote is done, it's out of your hands. You don't get another kick at the can. And yet that's exactly what Republican leadership in the legislature is doing.
Exactly.
And as a result, we're in a new state budget cycle that has to be done by June 30th, but we still can't escape the current budget cycle because of all the funds that are going unallocated the way that the legislature voted for that to happen. So now we're seeing that with Donald Trump at the federal level. And in both cases, it's worth noting that you vote for who represents you in Congress. You vote for who represents you in the legislature. And you would expect them to have the honor to stand up for a process and follow it and not not again use sour grapes to try to throw sand in the gears of government. Mm-hmm. More of the Chad Holmes Show is coming up after news. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.